Good morning and praise the Lord. May the joy of the Lord be with you. And may the joy of the Lord be complete in you this morning. I want to invite us again into our reflections of the last night. The disciples have never had any longer night than the last night before Jesus died. It was a very long night. It was a very troubling night. It was a very, it was a night that was full of, that did not have joy. It was a night that they did not want to repeat. It was a make and break night. I don't know whether you have ever had a long night, maybe because of loss of a job. Some of us have little long nights. When we have lost a beloved one, and we really, it is said to us that that beloved is gone. These are very long nights. When we have the enemy attack us and they take our property, we have long nights. When the enemy come and burn our houses, and I'm talking to people like the one for in the country of Kinshasa or DRC, some of them like those that are in Uganda, part some of Uganda, and some of them that are in part of Kenya, and majority, you know, they believe. I'm talking about the believers, and some believers who are in Somalia, and those areas where they cannot express, and where following Jesus have resulted to this kind of opposition. These really affect the believers. And particularly, when you realize that the reason to why you are going through this difficulty is because of following Jesus. There are people who develop negativity and who feel bad about Jesus Christ. Now, the disciples had a long night. Jesus took 5 chapters of the book of John, chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, 18, and part of the 19, just to speak to them. Do you discover that majorly the book of John focuses on the last night of Jesus here on earth? It focuses on that last night. Chapter, those 5 chapters, they happened in less than 6 hours, actually. So it's like every hour he was speaking to them a message. Every hour he was speaking to them a message. And what I have discovered is that the disciples did not have joy. But let me read you a scripture in John 15 and verses 9 to 11. Jesus is encouraging the disciples. He has told them that he is going away, and when he told them he is going, they misunderstood his going, that he did not love them. They felt cheated. They felt grieved. So Jesus is now looking for words and actions to help them. First, he has washed their feet to help them know that I love you. The washing of the feet was an act of love to see, oh, the master is loving us. It is like when you want to go, you know, a mother want to go, and you are leaving a child behind, and you give them a sweet just to let them know that though I'm going, I love you. So in verses 9, he says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. So Jesus is telling them, you know, my Father loved me. It's true, I'm going to die, but my Father still loved me. And as the Father loved me, I want to promise you, I have loved you. But then he told them, it's upon you to remain in my love. Can I say this morning that the love of Jesus is intact, but we must choose to remain in the love of God. But then he says, if you keep my command, you will remain in my love. How do you remain in my love? It's by keeping my commandment, just as I have kept my Father's command and remain in his love. So Jesus is talking about all these people because he wanted to know that he loved them. But just as the Father loved them. So it is the love of the Father that was in the love of Christ that was supposed to be the love of disciples. But they were supposed to remain in that love. Don't get out of this love, that context of love. Then verse 11 is what I want to mention here. I've told you this so that my joy may be new and that your joy may be complete. Now, this is to tell you that the joy of the disciples had already left them because of the fear, because of the shame, because of the words that Jesus has talked to them. They were joyless people. Do you know that joyless people are people without strength? I want to tell you that without the joy of the Lord, you have no love. If you have no joy of the Lord, you cannot be able to produce. If you do not have the joy of the Lord, according to the book of Nehemiah, you cannot be able to fight. So the joy of the Lord is an issue of the heart. The Bible says that takes care of your heart, because from it, the joy of, the issues of life flows from it. Now, the disciples' hearts had been leaking, had been wounded by the words Jesus had told them, by the fact that Jesus would go, and the joy of the Lord had left them. So Jesus said, I am writing to you so that so that my joy would be in you. That's number one. There's what we call the joy of the Lord. And not only that, not that you should only have the joy of the Lord in you, but you should let this joy be complete. Can I tell you then there are three levels of believers with joy? Number one, they are those that are joyless believers. They have no joy in their hearts. Joy as an issue of heart has already leaked out because of trouble. And that's why we're supposed to protect our heart. So number one, they have no joy. But number two, there are people who have the joy of the Lord in them. Praise God. These are people who rejoice even when things go wrong. When you have the joy of the Lord, you celebrate. Even when the enemy comes to you, you celebrate. You love. Why? It's not your joy, it's the joy of the Lord. But level three and the highest is where your joy is complete. Where, how do we know that the joy of the Lord is complete? We know that the joy of the Lord is complete if you do these two things. I want to go to verse 16 of the book of John. Chapter 15. John 15, 16. This is how you know that the joy is complete. For you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit that lasts. So that whatever you do, you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Now, one way to show that your joy is complete is when you are producing fruit, is when you are bearing, And what is bearing of fruit? Let's go to verses 27 of the book of John 15, which is the last verse. Of John, and you also must testify. I chose you so that you must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. Now, testifying to the Lord, reaching out to the Lord, telling others is when your joy is overflowing. So let the joy of the Lord overflow in us. So Jesus talked to them about the joy of the Lord. But I also want you to know, and I want to talk about this, that Jesus had to talk to them about the joy because he introduced another element that would really destroy them and kill them completely. Because without the joy of the Lord, we can't fight. And he introduced what we call hate, the hate from the world. And that's the what I want to finish up with. Jesus says that the world is going to hate you. He could not have introduced the element of hate without introducing the element of the joy. Because if he talked about the hating, which is the truth, the disciples could have crashed that night. Jesus would not have any other follower. The work he had done 3.5 years could have been a waste. And so Jesus, after introducing, telling them about the love, remain in my love, remain in my joy, he introduced what we call the hate. He says, verse 18, John 15, 18, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would have, if you belonged to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember, I told you, what I have told you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they obey your teaching also. They will hate you. They will treat you this because of my name. For they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have any sin. Or they would not have the guilt of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates you, hates my father as well. If I had not done among them the works no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. As it is, they have sinned, and yet they have hated both my father and myself. But this is to fulfill what is written in their law: they hated me without a cause. Now, I want to mention that Jesus introduced the element of hate, which I'll talk about more in the next session. But it's good to realize that Jesus said that they hated me without a cause. They hated me because they first hated the Father. They hated you. Can I say that the world hates believers? Why do they hate believers? They hate believers because first they hate God, and because the second they hate Jesus, and they hate God without a cause. Why do the world hate the believers? They hate the believers because believers have believed in Jesus. They are followers of Jesus Christ. Just because you follow Jesus Christ, the world hates you. And hatred is within these people. And they are guilty. They hate you also because they are guilty. They hate you because they don't want anybody to follow Jesus Christ. All what they do is because they hate you. And whoever hates you, let's get to know, is that they hated the Father first. And let's not allow the hate of the world to stop us from having the joy of the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, we want to ask you that you may help us to continue producing, to continue remaining in you, so that the hate of the world will not overwhelm us. In Jesus' name.